B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to
Jim, big on paying tribute to Dolly Parton today for kicking in $1 million for Moderna's development of their vaccine.
A million?
Didn't the taxpayers give Moderna like $1 billion?
I don't know.
Like, how big of a dent in her million? I mean, hey, appreciate it.
She's not saying she's underpaid. She's given $1 million.
Dolly Parton, way to support the effort.
And I told you off the air that I thought Nance was crazy thinking he's underpaid. I reamend my statement now.
He's not.
Because Buck makes 10.5 and Tirico makes close to that.
Tirico. I think is good, but oh my God. What does he do?
He's holding place until Al Michaels.
Same thing
retires.
Nance does, just on a smaller scale.
Exactly.
No, he's going to take over from Michaels. That they had to pay him that to get him off ESPN to be the next guy when Al goes.
He does Notre Dame and he does like one hockey game.
That's it.
Well, what are we
golf
doing
when they have golf?
He does like studio stuff for the Olympics. Like what? $10 million a year for that. If he gets $10 million, Nance deserves 12.
Yes.
If Buck makes 10.5. He, you know, I would say Buck is underpaid too. Joe Buck, underpaid.
I think those guys.
That's another guy who works
shots.
A ton. He does baseball. He does the NFL. He does the U.S. Open now. He's very busy.
I'm not doing the U.S. Open anymore.
Oh no, why? They switch networks again.
I think it's back to NBC. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jim was doing it.
What was your original statement on Jim Nance and
he should be happy making $6.5 million a year.
Was that it, or was it a little harsher than that?
A little harsher.
Was it shut up and take your $6 million a year?
And I said, yes. I said a corporate dick like you.
That's what happens.
And then I did some research. I did some research, and then I found out that wasn't the market.
Yeah. Can't wait till my contract's up, but I got to deal with Jim now.
That's great.
Shut up and be happy with what you're
Jim
making.
Jim knows the market now.
That's kind of what we've been getting.
Yep.
It's radio. It's what happens every single time. Shut up and like it. All right, then. You ready for more bad news?
What?
Celtics bad news.
What's bad news?
Listen, I fully admit that sometimes the marketing and social media people don't exactly know everything that's going on behind the scenes. But here's what the Celtics are promoting on Twitter at this hour.
What do they got?
Who's next? #CelticsDraft with an image. Celtics 2020 draft picks. Celtics draft presented by Putnam.
Oh, lucky them.
And you know what they're promoting? The overall number of the picks they have.
What?
14, 26, 30, 47. You guys feel the excitement there?
No.
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, 14.
Oh, my God. What do you think they're going to do? Oh, I bet they take a forward. I bet they don't even get a big guy.
And then after that one, there is this one. Traditions are established with one goal in mind. 11-20-20. What is the point of this tweet?
Well, what's the new City Edition jersey that you leaked?
Yeah, they're going to put out their new jersey. Hashtag tradition redefined. So far today, in the last hour, they are promoting the draft picks they have tonight and a new jersey.
Four new young guys and a new jersey.
Are the Red Claws getting a new jersey this year? Serious question.
I mean, if you want to tie the two stories together, you better be talking about a main Red Claws jersey.
What's the Red Claws?
Brooklyn's going to be happening.
By the way, a lot of negative feedback on those jerseys, which I disagree with.
I love them. Well, who's negative?
They look
it's better than that awful satin weird green with the yellow.
Twitter people, because I don't know, it doesn't match their sneakers or something, so therefore it's no good.
I mean, it doesn't match your sneakers.
I don't know.
What's it going to match your sneakers? They all wear different sneakers.
I was talking about like the consumers, not the players.
Oh.
I wasn't saying players. Yes. So they're promoting the jerseys, and they're promoting the picks they have tonight. Woo! Off season fireworks. Big things. Yeah.
Adam Jones probably hasn't slept. Yeah, he's so Jones. Excited.
I cannot wait for the draft special tonight. Cannot wait for Jones, Arcan, and B-Rob to get after it tonight. Jones is going to be hot fire tonight. That's what he's going to be. Can't wait for it. I'm excited about it. By the way, the GE logo is gone. It's been replaced with Vistaprint.
Oh, you mean the GE?
Big V. Gonna be on the-
huh.
Yeah, GE's out. Remember how GE was moving to Boston? Yeah, didn't really happen. Mm. So, yeah, Vistaprint is going to be on there.
Nice.
Yep, that's who took over the jersey marketing rights of the Boston Celtics. God bless you. Sorry. Big draft tonight. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
You could really you can feel the excitement in the air. I mean, it's like. Hey.
I mean, you knew this draft would be a dud anyways. Lewis. There was no everyone learns about college football during the tournament, and there was no tournament.
So
everyone watches 2 weeks of basketball and says, I love these guys. I love this guy. I love that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But you didn't even have that this year.
Right.
Welcome to 2020.
Who was the guy a couple of weeks, years ago? Was it guy who dropped a bunch of threes in the tournament? Oh, God. Why am I blanking on his name like 3-4 years ago?
Davidson?
No. Davidson is Steph Curry.
Yeah, I know.
No, you're not thinking of Trey Young from Atlanta.
No,
right?
I'm not Trey Young. I'll remember it.
Oklahoma? Jim, that kid from Oklahoma. The hell's his name?
Yeah, Trey Young.
Oh.
Yeah, he plays for the Atlanta.
I thought you said Atlanta.
Okay. I don't know. Let's figure out who that is. Buddy Hield. That's who it is.
Buddy
Hield. Remember
How'd
that?
You know that?
Remember the Buddy Hield phenomena? Like everyone going nuts.
That's right.
They got to get Buddy Hield. Yes. They got to get Buddy Hield. Do you remember that one?
Providence?
No, he's in Indiana.
No, Oklahoma. He played at, yeah.
Oh, Buddy
yeah.
Hield, okay.
No.
Who's the two kids that came out of PC?
Who do you play for?
Who's the two kids that came out of PC?
He played for Oklahoma.
Buddy Hield played for Oklahoma, yeah.
Right, exactly. But he currently was with Indiana with the Pacers.
Providence was Chris Dunn, so.
Okay.
You're thinking of Chris Dunn.
Yeah. Right. There's always those
traded
guys.
A million times.
We don't exactly have that this year because, no, everyone didn't watch the 3 weeks of the tournament and go crazy over a specific player. But get ready for that. What do you make of the tweet last night from Mark Murphy, who tweeted out at 7:09, per league source on the Celtics' view of potential James Harden deal? Quote, no interest. Do you believe that tweet?
No.
Not that Mark Murphy isn't checking in with high-level people.
That's what Jones was going off on last night. That's what I heard him going off on.
I read that tweet and I say, well, Mark Murphy's doing his job. He's reporting and getting information from official people in official positions saying that. I don't believe whoever that source is. I look at that tweet and say, oh, here's the part where they've realized they've got no shot, and now they're saying, of course I had no interest. The same way the rumors of Kemba Walker trying to be flipped will be denied as well. The same way there was no interest in James Harden, there will be no interest in moving Kemba Walker. Never had any interest, never even tried.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Media. Oh, NBA, Woj. And shams. Those guys are idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. Yes, that's just more of the same. More of the same. Before we take a quick timeout, let's talk to John in Buffalo, who I think has already like tried to prank us a couple times this week.
Hi, John.
Right, John?
No, I'm never pranking anybody.
The Jack and Salty thing isn't you?
That wasn't me. I heard all that. And you know what I like? That you guys
I didn't think that was him.
With that, but that was not me.
I didn't think it was you. I'm with you on that. I didn't think that was him. Go ahead. What do you got?
So, guys, I'll tell you what. I watched that game again.
Yep.
And Zoe, that kid was the best player on the field, wasn't he?
Who?
Who was better than him? Josh Allen.
Oh, he had a good game. Really good game.
Dude, I think about
I'd go Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray had a very good game.
How long is that runaround stuff going to last, though? I mean,
well, I agree with you
on
that.
Josh Allen's built.
Yeah.
So, I think about Cam Newton. I think about the Tin Man. I think about Josh Allen. It's a Terminator, baby.
John, it's your worst call ever. You know that, right? I appreciate you calling. I know you're trying.
He's got to get better material.
Josh Allen has been playing really, really well. I thought we've gotten past that. Do I give him credit? And John accepted it. And now Cam, who's actually playing really well since his team's halftime with the Patriots in the last two games, has been playing really well. Doesn't really deserve Tin Man name.
That's a bad joke. That's his worst call. I kind of like the insults better. I make more money than you. That's great. You know? I'm glad you call us during your lunch hour. Once you're done with your hedge fund meetings.
You suck.
That's nicer now.
All right. We'll talk to David Andrews.
How about that kid, huh?
For 12:35, we talked to David Andrews. We'll get back to your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What would you like to talk about, so?
Texans offense is pretty good. This is not a New York Jet team that you're playing. Looked at a bunch of film on them across the board. You've got Randall Cobb. We've talked about Will Fuller, who was a potential trade guy. He could have went after 6 foot, 6 foot, one guy that could go up and get it. He averages 15.3 yards per catch. He's got over 40 catches. They have a very good tight end in Fells. Big target. Keep going here. Brandon Cooks is there. Kenny Stills is there. This team should not be what they are. You sort of understand that, wow, okay, what did they do? What did they do to deserve this type of record? Is their defense that bad? The answer is yes. They can't stop the run. They give up a ton of points. The quarterback's damn good. They should be better than what they are. It's a dangerous game for the Patriots. People are looking at this right now and assume Patriots are automatically going to be 5-5 after this game. It's going to be tough. This team could score. And we got smoked down there last year. Smoked. Remember the Nikhil Harry? They ran that little slant route, lazy, and Brady ended up throwing a pick, got his ass chewed out, never played the rest of the game.
Well, I'll take your word for it on the film studying what they're capable of. I would disagree, though, when you say, well, everyone thinks they're going to go down there and be 5-5 after that. I'm not there yet. I think they had their best game of the season against the Ravens because they played disciplined. And I think, like we talked about on Monday, my biggest takeaway from that game was it appears that everybody did what was asked.
Oh, I agree with you, like around here, but like NFL Network, Good Morning Football, they're all pumping the Patriots' tires right now. You're getting to like an easier part of the schedule here.
I guess I would just ask.
6 weeks ago, we probably thought Houston was going to be a tough game.
Yeah. Have you watched though? I mean, if you want to turn around your entire outlook on a team based on, I wouldn't even say two games. I'd say one game. Then you're being remarkably short-sighted here, and you're allowing yourself to have like the ultimate recency bias by just taking a look at what they did in those conditions against one team. That I think it speaks more about the Ravens, or at least as much about the Ravens as it does the Patriots. It was a good win. It was a good team win. It was their best game of the season. But I'm not ready to look at any game on the schedule and circle automatic wins. They're 4-5.
Here's what makes me nervous.
They have a losing record.
Here's what makes me nervous. You're facing a quarterback this week that I think is better than the quarterback you faced last week. I think Deshaun Watson, the whole package, is better than Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson's regressed a little bit. Not even regressed. I don't think he's advanced from last year. Same guy. No, could run. Make some really good throws. Make some awful throws. Like, they haven't layered things for him. They haven't got him going to the next level. Deshaun Watson can handle it all. Every one of those skill guys I named, Cobb, Stills, Fells, Cooks, Fuller, Watson, there's six players right there. Would you take all six of those players over any six that you match up for New England? The answer is yes.
So I have a question. It's about this. Do we still talk about home and road, even though there are no fans? And it's not like you go into a hostile environment anymore?
I tell you what. I think they played well in Seattle.
I think
Wait. You think it helps them? They have one win on the road. It's against the Jets.
I think it helps the Patriots on Sunday.
Helped you in
Buffalo. I think the Ravens didn't want to be out there. It's miserable. It's cold. It's wet. Nope. Now we got to go sit on a bus when we're doing this and fly home. I think it factors in a little bit in when the conditions are off. But if it's going to be a nice weather game, I don't know that it matters one way or the other.
Buffalo's head coach cried after the game and had to go home and take it all in until he turned the page because it was such a huge win for the city and their fan base. If that stadium was packed up there at Orchard Park and that fumble, that place would have went freaking nuts. They may have rushed the field. It would have been harder for them to operate in the second half when you're really struggling as offense. They're getting confident now. And when you really don't know what you're doing on offense, you're playing in a hostile Kansas City, I think.
I know they got a moral victory. Think. I know they got a moral victory on the road at Seattle. But when it comes to actual results on the road, they haven't been there.
I've got to think Seattle, Kansas City, the place where I've called games where I can't barely hear Bob who's next to me.
They got 12,000 fans at the game this weekend.
At Denver.
Houston.
Remember Denver? They were getting that jump back in the day when Denver was going to the Super Bowl with Peyton. They were just running around your tackles because you couldn't hear the snap count. They were just teeing off on the football. You've got to tell me there's at least five to a good 10 plays that you probably would have gotten beaten on more on the road in other years than you have this year. I completely agree with that you've got an easier time on the road. No hostile environment. Really. And they were supposed to see some bad ones. Seattle's a bad one. Kansas City's a bad one. Houston's loud. It's a good fan base down there. It's Texas. It's football. They get after it. Baltimore. Baltimore coming here. We were in Baltimore last year. You couldn't hear yourself think down there. Same thing, man. I mean, the places that are juiced, say you got to go to Pittsburgh in the playoffs this year and they don't have fans. It's going to be an advantage. I'll take that. Take my chance. They could go to games there, but they got to wear masks in their house. That's the new rule in Pennsylvania. Amazing. Steelers have fans at games. Oh, by the way, the Eagles are putting fans back in. The start of the year said there weren't going to be fans all year. Then they had fans. Then they said no. Then they look at Pittsburgh. Oh, Pittsburgh has fans. We're putting fans back in. Snip, snap, snip, snap. It's all over the board. I don't know where this is trended. I know they said they want to have fans for the Super Bowl and, you know, obviously not full capacity, but, you know, one third maybe. I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see. But it's tough offense you're facing this week. And how much difference is the game plan going to have to be? Like Chase Winovich might not be an off the ball player this week, and we'll talk to Chase tomorrow. This game plan might have him up on the edge because of Watson. Like he's got to rush the passer there. You're not rushing a passer with
him. I'm sure he'll be quick to tell us what the plan is too.
Well, you trust the process, man. What did he say the other night, Jim? More positivity. He had something. He had some saying, man. He had the hair flowing.
By the way, just double checking on that mask order in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
It doesn't apply to people in the same family. It's when someone comes into your home that is not in your family.
Well, that's kind of what happens now, right?
Yes. So
somebody drops a package off, you get your house worked on, they have masks.
And I'm not saying which, but depending on you, like read the story, the headline that comes up, some websites will say you must wear a mask in own a house, unbelievable.
Right.
While others say, when you actually read it, the guidelines require that people wear masks
in their homes
when they are with people from outside their household.
No, I got people texting me from Pittsburgh on it.
Like, well, then therefore, if somebody from outside your household is at your home, everyone should wear a mask.
Like, FaceTime me. Let me see your mask.
But no, does it mean that you have to go home and put a mask on? No.
Stupid.
No. But certain websites or callers will not, you know,
or talk bothered, show hosts.
Or bother to actually read it.
How many times?
Bother actually to get the information. They will just go with whatever is told to them.
To get through the whole article.
What?
I had buddies that called me on it, and I was laughing at them. And then a caller from Pennsylvania.
15 words.
Like, hey, how's your mask?
Artie doesn't have any buddies in Pennsylvania.
He didn't say, a call from Pennsylvania didn't say, we don't have to wear in our own homes. He said, it's awful.
They're stupid. What do you want me to do? Pennsylvania. June, can you play some Christmas music? Home for the Holidays, something like that. Pennsylvania, some pumpkin pie. I like that song. We don't play enough Christmas music here. We started it. Then we got away from it.
I got something that'll interest you. Uniforms. You hear about the Vikings uniforms?
I've not.
They're going to stay all white. They wore all white last weekend.
Okay.
And
Can
I at least tell you?
Yes.
I tell you the story?
I called this. Go ahead.
So they wore all white. And they're going to stick with it, not because of superstition. They're sticking with the all-white because Mike Zimmer still routinely talks to Bill Parcells. And Parcells told Zimmer, keep the all-whites. The offense can see the other players better. You stand out on the field with the all-white. Use the all-whites.
You know who that's from?
They're using it for a strategic advantage.
Vinny Testaverde, too. Colorblind. Parcells was big on make sure we got the white jerseys. And Vinny throws better in white because some of the jerseys don't blend. Parcells was really worried about contrast of uniforms against each other. Plus, they look great. The all-white Vikings. Because Reese got after me. I'm watching the game. Reese is like, hey, what do you think of these Bears, huh? Pretty cool, huh? Fire. I'm like, no. Chicago Bears, one of the best uniforms in the game. They took their dark jersey off and threw on an orange one. They look like Denver. No. See the team that they're playing in all white, the Vikings? That's fire. Boy, the Chargers, too, mixing it up. The Chargers uniforms are nice. I didn't think I liked them at first.
I knew he'd like this.
But this is what I said to Bob the other night, too.
What?
Why can't now, I know you're stuck with the uniforms that you've said you're going to wear this year for 2 years. Why can't you be like Dallas and just go all white? Meaning we'll wear our road whites at home and away unless the team we play away, like Dallas, elects to wear white or Miami, then we got to wear our darks. Mm-hmm. But out of the 13 games we play, we're going to do white jerseys, blue pants. I think it looks better on them.
We'll talk to David Andrews, Patriot Center.
We'll ask him about it.
Maybe he's got a preference of jersey. We'll talk to him next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Patriot Center David Andrews. He's brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. David, hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I hear there's congratulations in order for your big award there.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We're doing pretty good here on the show.
Here we go.
David, TV show award?
It already went to his head yesterday.
No, it didn't. I never even mentioned it.
It absolutely did go to your head. We held off.
No way. Zoe's the most humble person I know.
Thank you. What do you guys as a team think of the 2-6 program in the afternoons, the Felger Maserati program?
Hey, here we go. Now you're trying to turn like teammate against teammate.
Yeah.
David, let me ask you something. Would you ever prop yourself up at the expense of a teammate, or is it kind of like all of you guys together?
Oh, well, Zoe's a quarterback, you know? I mean.
Yeah, see, that's why.
They have their own agenda.
That's right. Well said.
Went back, watched that game a lot. You guys kicked their ass pretty good up front. I mean, you're starting to, I don't want to say get an identity, but you getting back and having, you know, obviously Shaq and Joe around you and how well Big Mike and Isaiah played, that's continuity up front. How much does that mean to the team, even in a running game and passing game, but you know, both of them?
Yeah, you know, I think we got a tough group, man. I mean, you know, this group's kind of battled through some injuries here and there, and you know, but they come out every day and work their tail off at practice. You know, a lot of people know, you know, Scar was never easy on us in practice, and that thing's kind of, you know, transitioned over to now, and so our practices are a grind, and, you know, I'm proud of the way the guys come each day to work, you know, and attack each day, and, you know, starting to put a little something together here, you know, not only us, but as a team. Yeah, I think a lot of that goes back to practice. We've had some pretty good weeks of practice here, and you're starting to see some of the fruits of those labors.
Mike Reese, I don't know if you saw this, had talked to Scar, and Scar said, there's no way in hell I probably could have coached in 2020 just based on, you know, I'm a hands-on guy. I need to see guys face-to-face. I want to grab a guy, move him here. Do you agree with that? Like, and I know the, you know, Carmen's done a nice job, but do you agree with Mike that Scar, there's no way he could have gotten through this year?
Just the type of coach. I don't know. I mean, I think it would have been funny seeing him do some Zoom meetings.
He hates that stuff. He hates it.
So, I mean, Scar was real old school, hand-drawn everything. You know, but I mean, he would have found a way. One of the things I think he did such a great job with us was just adapting, you know, us being fluid, taking what was thrown at us and adjusting. But yeah, I mean, they're probably, you know, this spring when everything was virtual, there probably would have been some funny moments.
So when you talk about taking good work on the practice field and putting it to use in games, do you feel like where the team is at right now, you can have the best laid plans, or you can have great game plans going into a week, but do you feel like the level of execution now is getting better from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely room for improvement. There are some things we didn't do, you know, well Sunday, but, you know, having those reps, I think, you know, even when there's been weeks here where we maybe didn't go full pads, right, you're still walking through, you're still there all day. You're practicing in shells if it's not a full pad week, you know. But, you know, I think you're still getting those reps in that time. So, you know, that's the biggest part. You know, our biggest part of our day, you know, is our practice. You know, all the extra stuff, the treatment, weight room, nutrition, all that stuff's great. But, you know, the most important part of the day is practice.
You think the screen game could be better timed? You know, it seems at times there's stuff there, but you guys just can't hit one. I know you hit two, I think, in this game, but you struggled in other games. Is that something that you could fix with more and more practice?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to, you know, it's not like we can line up and really run how those plays are going to come out each week. You know, it's not like sitting there and saying, all right, on this type of play, run play, this is kind of the box, and this is how we expect the reactions to be. You know, screen plays are kind of chaotic at times, and, you know, you want to be better at anything, but, you know, James made a hell of a play on that third and three or whatever it was to get the first down. That was a hell of a play by him. So, you know, we can definitely be better and be better at a lot of things.
You have a favorite uniform out of your current uniforms? We were just talking about this last segment.
You're a man of fashion, Dave.
And we thought maybe you'd have a thought on this. You like
the, what?
Do you like the color rush,
the white,
the home uniform?
The blue? Do you like your previous uniform, which we like a whole hell of a lot more than your current one? Any of that?
Oh, you guys don't like the current one?
The all blue? I'm not a big fan.
Not a fan.
Like, I like, you know what? I like it once a year at night.
I think it looks like a high school uniform.
During the day, yeah. I don't think it resonates well during the day. I love the road white.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I think the best jersey they ever had was the red and white helmet.
Yeah.
That by far maybe might be one of the best uniforms in the league. But, I mean, I'm an offensive lineman. I don't really care about what I look like out there.
You do the grunt work. You don't care about this stuff. The receivers do. Receivers care about this stuff, though.
Yeah. Serious question. You're a big Yeti camo hat wearing guy.
Yes, true.
Cam is obviously a big hat guy. Has he tried to force any of his hats on you?
No, I do like some of them, though, but I don't know. I feel like I'd run into things with some of those hats sometimes, but, you know.
Does he keep them in boxes?
I don't know. I mean,
like a hat box from the Derby?
You'll have to ask him that. I don't know. I don't have any hats like that, really. So
I think you could pull it off. Like one of those nice wide brim hats, you know, to a summertime wedding, you know, down there in Georgia somewhere.
Oh.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Out on some big country porch.
Yep. Big plantation.
Maybe, we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, who's yelling in the background?
Well, I'm in the locker room, so there's just a lot of people back.
All right, buddy.
You guys watching the show?
They don't have us on TV yet.
Well, we're very high. We're very popular. We're very popular in that number same one, survey Dave. That
yeah.
Zoe did.
Yeah,
that Zoe came in show. Number one.
Yeah.
So, all right, fellas.
All right, buddy. Bye. Have fun in Houston.
Bye, David.
See y'all.
See you, buddy.
He's like, I'm sick of you two.
Yeah, he had fun for a couple of minutes, and then wasn't fun anymore.
How about that? He likes the uniform he never even played in. Never played in the all-red.
The red one.
The red with the white helmet. I think should have brought that back. That should be the throwback. Color rush.
Red is just a good color. It's powerful.
It sure is. That's why Tiger wears it.
Yeah.
I used to wear a red Heat shirt when I was a kid. Like, if we would go to Ocean City, and we would go to this buffet. It was, like, expensive. $30 all you can eat. You know, it's pretty good price there.
I mean, it
buffet.
Never totally made sense as the Patriots color, but, you know, but considering that was the color of the enemy.
Yeah. When I wanted to eat, I wore red shirts, went to eat. That's right. The British are coming.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They're the Redcoats.
What's up with that?
It never made sense as a Patriots color.
That's a good point. You look at those the people shooting the guns down there. What did Lawrence Maroney used to call them? Or Big Bang Clock? Brandon Merriweather. Ladies shooting the guns. Ladies down there shooting the guns.
Ladies shooting the guns.
Now those men with colonial hair. Ladies
gave me one of their hats.
She gave me one of her hats.
Ladies shooting the guns.
Shooting the hats.
You want to talk about Home Alone?
Yes.
Yeah, right, we could do
Jim that. Louth went down a rabbit hole last night.
It's a theory I had not known about until today, but it's interesting. In fact, I think there might be something to it.
I want the McAllister's house.
Zoe loves Home Alone. One of the like six. Do you know how many Home Alones there are? I'm going to tell you about this. I'll tell you about this on the other side. Oh. There's more than you think. More than you think,
Zoe. I think there's two good ones.
I would agree with that. We'll get to that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, good morning. Hey, listen.
Leave it on a doorstep and get the hell out of here.
You guys give a hard time to Irving about his play, but at least the guy scores.
That a fact. How much do I owe you?
$31 million.
Too bad AC ain't in charge no more.
And nobody talks about the guy.
He'll call you when he gets out.
Why don't you guys talk about that dud you got for $31 million?
I tell you what I'm going to give you, Snakes. I'm going to give you to the count of 10. To get your ugly, yellow, no-good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10.
So, big fan of Home Alone, right?
Hey, I love Home Alone.
By the way, that old scene in that movie is not from an actual old movie. They made that specifically for the movie.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing about the first Home Alone to me.
Matt Hardy, did you know that?
I think we all know that.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing for me about the first Home Alone movie, I know you're going to get to how many there are, but when they rush to the airport, they have a single garage, the detached garage at the back of the house with a white door that they left up. Didn't shut the garage door when they were going away for a week.
No, they were in a big hurry.
I know, in a rush, but like they woke up in the morning late. Why wouldn't you shut your garage door at night? You know? It was weird to me.
And before we get into the rest of it, because it was on the other day, and
it's on every day.
Yeah, right.
It really is.
So even though someone else, like some teenager, did a head count for you, like the mother doesn't like maybe just make sure her own kids are there.
The youngest one.
Like, yeah, at some point you just don't do a quick check to make sure your own kids are all set.
You got kids. Don't you have like one that's the least responsible that
You're probably going to check on one.
Well, if I'm watching, like, it, you know, if I'm one of a couple of parents and there's a bunch of kids running around, yeah, I'll check on all them, but I'm going to find mine first.
Right.
They're okay. We're all set.
Well, that's what you get for traveling in big groups.
Well, that's part of this.
It's karma.
That's part of this theory. That's going down.
How many Home Alones, Beetle?
At least five.
Five. I like the first two.
There's the first, the original, the second one in New York. Then there was Home Alone 3. Yeah. Then there was Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House. And then what is unofficially Home Alone 5, Home Alone the Holiday Heist. I did not know these existed until
either.
My kids decided to watch all of them. Yeah, they've seen the entire collection.
I think I won one of them from your little gift package from last year.
Now, the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original.
Okay.
There is a sixth in development.
Of course.
Oh, great.
Who knew that this kept going on?
The plot is said to center around a boy who faces off against a married couple after he steals something of theirs.
All right, so here's the theory from Reddit. It was posted 4 years ago. Jim discovered it last night.
Weirdo Jim.
I just saw somebody put a meme on like Twitter or Facebook or something and said, I've always wondered what the hell he does for a living to have that giant house.
Yeah, so this thing was up on, this was on the Fan Theories subreddit.
Yeah, he's got four porticos up there. Gorgeous. All brick house. Two fireplaces.
And here's the premise. Home Alone. The dad, Peter McAllister,
yes,
is a criminal.
Hi, I'm Peter McAllister, the father.
This is Peter McAllister, the father.
His theory here is that Peter McAllister is some sort of mid-level criminal for the mob or something.
No way.
He says, first, the very first time we see Peter is when Harry is dressed as a cop scoping the place out. Peter is way too defensive in this interaction. All Harry does is ask if he's the owner of the home.
Oh, that's a good point.
And Peter jumps straight to, am I in some kind of trouble, officer?
Right.
The look on his face is on edge the entire time he's talking to Harry.
Oh.
He says, secondly, we never find out what he actually does. They don't mention where he works or his background or anything.
Sanitation.
In the book adaptation of the movie, they say something about him being in business.
Mm.
That's pretty vague. But Peter makes enough money to have a wife that doesn't work and five kids, and he also has the house.
And Buzz is a real pain in the ass. Raised a brat. Bully.
Right.
Nice crew cut, Buzz.
Card, you got it.
Harry calls the McAllister house the Silver Tuna, the Big Score, etc. They specifically target this neighborhood for the McAllister house. When we see in the house, there's nothing particularly valuable. We don't ever see them mention jewels or a safe or anything like this. But this house that Harry has only seen the entryway to is the house to rob. This might have just been a remnant of the original storyline when Uncle Frank, in the original script to the movie,
what a dick he is.
Uncle Frank in the original script was the guy behind the robbery. The original script had him hiring the robbers to hit the house while they were away.
What a jerk.
Maybe it was just something left over from the abandoned storyline, or they're targeting that house specifically because they know Peter's in the mob.
Plus, he's paying for everybody to go to freaking Paris.
Right.
And then they went to Florida. Like, who the hell got that money? And there's Frank, the freeloader. And then he's going to double him and rob
him. Here's some more to the theory. It says, look at how the family carries themselves. Kevin's mom is a cold, emotionally dead bitch. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Who says terrible things to her 8-year-old son. Buzz is a bleeping psychopath who is probably set up to follow in his dad's footsteps.
He's a pervert.
Uncle Frank is obviously a crook of some kind.
Uncle Frank seems like the uncle. When he shakes your hand, you have to run and wash your hands.
Then there's Kevin, who seems completely okay with killing two robbers. I don't think his intent was to bonk them on the noggin. He was out for blood. He was 8 years old.
I mean, seriously, of all the damage that he caused, those sticky bandits, the wet bandits, most men would die from the type of collisions and paint cans and bricks dropped on their heads from three stories up.
They're entitled and they have no manners. Just look at the scene when Kevin's mom is trying to use the payphone in Paris and a woman is already using it. The whole family just muscles the poor woman off the phone.
And then she cuts line at the airline ticket thing, like, because she's trying to get back. And she's demanding my
wife of a mobster.
Yeah, entitled.
Peter McAllister.
The father.
Criminal. He's running a criminal enterprise, which has allowed the family to have the money they have.
That's why they have the Tommy Gun movies.
I mean, isn't that like an old mob movie they're sort of showing there? It's sort of like an Untouchables type of movie that they made. That might be the hint they're dropping on us.
Right.
Party? Pretty good theory.
It's pretty good. You probably enjoyed Home Alone at some point.
Oh, God, yeah. You still do.
You were of an age where
you enjoyed it all the time.
Do you really?
I love the movie.
I never liked it. I thought you and I would be too old for it to ever like have like an honest appreciation for it.
You know what it is?
But I always found Macaulay Culkin creepy. And
that's because Michael Jackson.
I always thought he was a little bit of a jerk. Like, I'm like, good. I would have left him home, too.
Polkaman.
It's just... So I don't care enough about the movie to entertain these theories too much, you know? Like, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Look at the windows in that place. Nice windows, too. Nice house. All brick. Well built. Yeah.
It defies
solid. Nice street. I bet that's a nice street to trick-or-treat on.
We could do an entire segment.
We could do
probably
a whole show
today,
on this.
About movie theories. There's one about John Wick. Have you seen John Wick, Beetle? The Keanu Reeves action? Neither one of you have seen John Wick?
No, clue what you're talking about.
Nobody.
Billy, you see it? No.
No one's seen John Wick?
Weirdo.
Nope.
Hey, T-Bone, you seen John Wick? No.
What the hell is the matter
with
all
five
T-Bone. Of you?
What is John Wick? I never even heard of it.
Jim?
No. I've heard of it. I've just never seen it.
It's fantastic.
Well, must not be that fantastic.
No, but nobody because you five dolts haven't watched
it. No, it'd be popular and everybody would want to go see it.
Everybody like has seen it. They've done two sequels already.
You see Titanic, you go see it.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like a homework project.
I'm going to say that movie's way better than any of the Home Alone stuff.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, but it's Christmas time. Is it a Christmas movie? Is John Wick a Christmas movie?
Yeah. Yes.
By the way, the Home Alone house sold in real life for $1.5 million.
When?
2015.
Jesus.
Okay. Maybe in the neighborhood's not as nice as we thought.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because that
maybe
looks
it's
like
really run down.
Is it an actual Chicago neighborhood or is it a suburb?
I'll call my sister. She's out there. She'll know. Sean will know. Sean's always.
Well, here's the question: Were the inside shots in that movie actually filmed in the home?
That's a good question.
Probably not.
It really makes you think now about other Christmas, like Christmas Vacation. Like, really, where does Griswold work?
It's in Winnetka, Illinois.
671 Lincoln Avenue, Winnetka, Illinois, 60093.
I'm going to, you know what? Let's do I got the MLS listing here. Why don't we do a deep dive on the house?
Why don't you drive by it on the way home?
No.
Text it.
I can't tell. Let's talk about the home.
Boop, boop. Looks like they did use the same interior.
Yeah,
crazy.
It looks like the stairs are the same.
Yeah.
You want the details on the house? You want the deets?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do it next.
Yes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.